This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
We turn the corner now, and the conversation we're having, listen, is not a puff piece, okay? We're not smoking something, and neither is Cabinet. They've approved the long-awaited Tobacco Products and Electronic Delivery Systems Control Bill for submission to Parliament, and it's said to be a crucial, important step to further the restrict the use of tobacco products, particularly e-cigarettes, how to regulate them. Because I think up until now, they came onto the market, but it hadn't been quite figured out how to classify them. But it seems as though this bill and the proposals in the bill will start to properly calibrate what they are and how it fits within the general tobacco controls framework as well. The experts are here. They are Zanele Mthembu, who is the convener of the product, our next and country coordinator, South Africa. It's a campaign for tobacco-free kids. And we're joined by Dr. Sharon Nyatsanza, who's the deputy director for the National Council Against Smoking. So Zanele, good morning to you.
Good morning, Lerato, and good morning to the listeners.
And Dr. Sharon, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Okay, let's start off with you, Dr. Sharon Nyatsanza. What is this bill and what does it seek to do, and how does it beef up existing legislation around tobacco controls?
Yes, so the bill really contains many vital public health provisions, which are really meant to protect the rights and the health of children, non-smokers and smokers alike. So some of the key provisions that are included in the bill are introducing 100% smoke-free for public indoor areas, mm-hmm, and other outdoor areas. So, for example, in restaurants, there won't be any smoking in designated rooms allowed, and that is really the best way to protect non-smokers. It will also introduce picture warnings. So instead of saying just in normal text, smoking may cause cancer, it actually gives the picture itself of what that means. So basically, the health warnings are more effective. It basically draws down the power of the tobacco brands to take away from, the reality of tobacco and what it means in terms of health, what it means in terms of societal and economical harms. And what the bill also importantly does, like what you already mentioned, it regulates e-cigarettes, which have not been regulated at the moment. We don't know what's in them. Some of them even have nicotine, double the amount that is allowed in cigarettes. They are being marketed. So all those things are what the bill comes in to do.
So just to get some clarity, on the first issue that you said, making sure that indoor areas, public areas are smoke-free zones, I thought that was already the legislation in South Africa.
Yeah. So currently it's not the law. 100% smoke-free means there's no smoking section. So for example, when you go into some restaurants, there's a room that is enclosed, or there's a section which they say this is a smoking area.
Right.
And what science actually finds is that there's no amount of technology, there's no amount of ventilation that can stop the smoke from coming from the smoking to the non-smoking section.
Okay.
So in all workplaces, in all public indoor places, even in common areas in apartments, for example, we think of, let's say, clubhouses in Eastern, those will become smoke-free.
Completely smoke-free.
Completely smoke-free in the public indoor areas. And obviously, it also empowers the minister to regulate some outdoor public, public outdoor areas as well. So it might be outdoor, but it's still a space where children and, a lot of the public are still congregated.
Okay, so people will say, okay, I was in a shopping mall, it's a smoke-free zone, but I was in the parking lot, I was smoking. That parking lot, because it's got pregnant women, children, the elderly, people coming in and out, that public space might also be declared a smoke-free zone.
Yes, or actually the minister might declare a distance from, let's say, the entrance of a building. So, for example, they may say, in so many meters, you can't smoke, or even, let's say, the parking area, but which part of the parking area? Because some of the parking areas actually still have a lot of people who don't smoke in it.
Okay, and then very quickly, before I bring in Zanele, this issue of e-cigarettes, obviously they are new. They are newer, and they come after lots of interventions in the legislation. And so they haven't really been regulated. But how did they come onto the market if they didn't pass a few controls?
So they are currently, like you say, not regulated. So if they were registered, let's say as a smoking cessation too, like you can think of your nicotine patches, yeah, they would have been regulated under the Medical Products Act. So the Medical Council would have actually regulated them, you know, as a smoking cessation, for example, requiring that they only be given by a pharmacist or even by prescription.
Right.
But they came in as consumer goods. So they actually managed to get into the market with no regulation whatsoever. So I think we've seen them in our shopping malls, you know, around the country. They are marketed whichever way, mm-hmm, and also blatantly actually marketed to children. Mm-hmm. And a recent survey that actually was done in South Africa shows that it's more of the younger people who are using them, not the mm-hmm adults. So, you know, the regulation really, the law really tries to, you know, is important in that it comes in mm-hmm and regulates that area of law. It does not ban their use. It just controls them strictly.
Okay, let's bring you in here, Zanele Mtembo, because a lot of the work you do is for the campaign for tobacco-free children. And here, Dr. Sharon Nyatsandra is telling us that e-cigarettes is a really grey area, right? Because they're digital cigarettes, they're supposed to be a cleaner version of smoking, and yet we see many young people smoking hookah pipes, you know, these hubbly bubblies. And I don't know what's the rule in terms of who you sell an e-cigarette to. So could you give us some clarity?
Lerato, thank you. Firstly, let me start by congratulating government for this important step to protect citizens, the health of the citizens, to protect the economy, and to protect the environment, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And also, let me just say, whilst I work with NGOs. I am an NGO person, and I don't work primarily for the campaign for tobacco-free kids on this.
Okay.
I support NGOs, work with NGOs, Protect Our Next, which is a group of NGOs working together to ensure that we promote the health of the nation by ensuring that this bill is eventually passed into law.
Okay.
Now, back to your question on e-cigarettes and hookah. Now, Sharon has indicated that e-cigarettes are harmful, right? Mm. They are very harmful. They contain nicotine, and some of them do not contain nicotine. They contain flavors which have been proven to be harmful.
Okay.
Now, government, we are all concerned from a public health perspective. We are concerned about the harm these products cause on health, particularly on the health of the young people, that is, adolescents and the youth, mm, simply because the manufacturers and the distributors, they deliberately target through their advertisement and marketing tactics, they target young people. Why? Because young people are always attracted to anything that is colorful, to anything that is designed, that is sexy. And also what is concerning, Lerato, is that these products, they are feminized, meaning they are designed in a manner that is so appealing to the female, more appealing to the females, as similar to the existing tobacco products, because you'll see, you will note they are slim, They are advertised as if they reduce weight and all those things. Now, that is so concerning because young people are so attracted to this. Number two, we are deeply concerned by the way these products are marketed. Most of them are marketed on internet. Who visits my internet mostly? It's young people. Mm-hmm. So you can see the strategy. The strategy is to get more young people hooked to nicotine, because nicotine is designed in a manner that will create addiction. So the strategy of these of the tobacco industry and the vape product companies, yeah, is to ensure that they get young people hooked. And when they are hooked, it becomes, mm-hmm, difficult to quit smoking, and they are hooked for life.
What are the rules, Susanele, governing selling vapes and e-cigarettes to children? How do children come into contact with them and access them?
Okay. This bill that we have now, that has been published as a public document. It's called the Control of Tobacco Products and Electronic Nicotine Delivery and Electronic Delivery System, which means every measure entailed in this bill, they will control both how tobacco, how your cigarette and related tobacco products are manufactured, are sold, are distributed, the contents therein, plus your electronic delivery systems, which is your e-cigarettes and so on. Now, what does the bill propose then? The bill proposes that the sale of these products on vending machines is no longer be allowed. So when you go to, say, for instance, a restaurant or a hotel, you know, we always see the vending machines placed all over, even within reach of young people, right? Now, what this bill says, because even the hotel owners, they are defying the existing law, which already prescribe how these vending machines should be placed, because they must be placed only in smoking areas. We find them even at entrances, right? Now, this bill says, okay, government is now banning the sale of these products, including e-cigarettes, in the vending machines. Once this bill becomes law, we won't be seeing cigarettes and e-cigarettes in the vending machines. You'll find everything else except those. Number two, the sale to underage children. Now, the problem we have, your tuck shops, your spaza shops, and whoever else, they are supposed to be checking and ensuring that they're not selling to underage children the cigarettes. Now, with the introduction in the bill of electronic cigarettes and others, the bill will require that when young people are sold, are coming to buy, you need to ensure that you are not selling to an underage child. And why is that, Lorato? The greatest concern about young people buying this product is that it impacts the brain development of a developing child. Science reveals that our brains develop. They take about 25 years to develop, to fully develop. Now, we know, again, through studies that have been conducted, even in our own countries and globally, that these products, e-cigarettes, they are very common among adolescents and young people.
Okay. Thank you so much for that input. And I think just very briefly, the issue really becomes how to police the vendors and the merchants. Dr. Sharon, you can help us with that, and also what's being said about brain development, because research has also shown the impacts of secondary smoke. Perhaps from a medical point of view, you can help us with that. We'll do it in a moment.
Tackling the challenges of our time. One conversation at a time. Power 98.7. Now we're talking.
We're talking about smoking and smoking in public spaces. When you are a non-smoker, how susceptible are you to health risks when people smoke in your midst? Are restaurants, shopping malls doing enough to protect non-smokers from smokers? But most importantly, children as well, unwittingly getting caught up, and all of this kind of elevating and adding to existing tobacco legislation in the wake of e-cigarettes and these hookah pipes that people talk about. We're told that 74% of people in public spaces are exposed to the harmful impacts of tobacco when they are in public spaces. And how does it harm the non-smoker, Dr. Sharon Nyatsanza?
So definitely, secondhand smoke really is not safer. A person does not have to smoke to suffer from the negative effects of tobacco. Because what actually happens is when you're inhaling someone else's smoke, you're still inhaling the exact toxic contents from tobacco. And obviously, we're also including hookah pipes here. And we find that hookah pipes actually themselves are also tobacco. So we always see, for example, people sitting next to people who are using hookahs. But that really is dangerous because you're inhaling the same toxic contents. So you're still exposed to cancers. You're still exposed to things like higher risk of strokes, heart disease. So you're basically exposed to the same things. But obviously, it's even more damaging to the children because obviously their human organs have not developed fully when they're children. So you see that it affects them. You can see that there's increased, so for example, sudden infant death syndrome, asthma attacks, etc. But secondhand smoke is as harmful. And obviously the concern was that we see a lot of people, going to a great length to try and avoid secondhand smoke. Some people will complain, for example, to managers that someone next to them is smoking in restaurants, or they'll go and sit in non-smoking sections. But obviously it's more concerning that even research in South Africa showed that even in the non-smoking section, because it's smoke, we can't control it, they found high levels of smoke. So it really is concerning.
Let me just be a devil's advocate here. So I'm not a smoker and I'm very sensitive to it, but I'm sensitive to the extent that my eyes just become bloodshot and my hay fever kicks up. But somebody would argue you're not inhaling it. It's not you puffing and then letting that nicotine travel into your bloodstream and exhaling it. You're over-exaggerating this impact.
So actually, the answer is you are inhaling it. You are not the one who actually is puffing it in. But remember, when they puff it in, they smoke that is exhaled. That is exhaled. And that is the smoke that the secondhand smoker is actually inhaling. And what we find as well, some people would say, well, I smoked, my kids are at school. I spend, let's say, 4 hours, before they come from school. But smoke actually lingers around. We don't need to see. That's why you see that we now have an issue around what you call third-hand smoke as well. Smoke on carpets, smoke on curtains. And some people, I think, in hotels always request smoke-free rooms because you're actually also inhaling it, even when you're not the one using the product.
Okay, so Zanella, you spoke about advertising and marketing being another issue, is that there are definitely very strict controls on advertising tobacco products. You can't do it at the cinema, you can't do it on the streets, etc., etc. But that hasn't quite filtered through to the e-cigarettes. So what has been proposed here?
The e-cigarettes will be regulated to a larger extent, similar to cigarettes, right? For example, I did mention earlier on that most of the e-cigarettes are advertised and marketed online. You open Google and you find it. You read Google News. The first thing that comes out is the advertisement. Now, what government will do and what this bill seeks to do to achieve is to ban advertising online of these products. Is to ban advertising using any other means. For instance, now what we find that is common, you see, when you go to, say, for instance, you go to Checkers, right? What they do, or even they like doing that actually with the tuck shop, next to a till, a till point, right? What they do, they place a mat that has got, that advertises these products. And on those nets, there's so much everything written and, the colors and so on. Why is that? Because they want to attract you, the buyer, who's coming in there to buy. So they use all those covert measures.
Okay.
So in addition to advertising overtly, government will clamp down on these covert measures.
The below-the-line advertising, the
Absolutely.
Subtleties. Okay,
the
so here's subtleties. Here's a question. We live in a country that recognizes civil liberties.
Yes.
And to the extent that your rights don't quite, violate the Constitution, you have them.
Yes.
So smokers are taxpayers. Smokers are responsible parents. Smokers are employers. Smokers start businesses and create jobs. Why can't smokers exercise this one right that they have, which is to smoke? They have the information and they still choose to smoke. In the same way in which alcohol has many health consequences, and yes, alcohol advertising is banned, but a person can exercise their common sense as to when and if they want to have a drink. And it doesn't make them any less of a South African citizen. Why do you want to police smokers in this way as if they're children?
Now, that's a good question, Narato. Every right in South Africa is enshrined in the Bill of Rights, right? Mm. And the Bill of Rights does not have anything called the right to smoke. What it has, Section 24A or B of the Bill of Rights, it says people have a right to be exposed to an environment that is not harmful to health or well-being, right? That is the right. So being in an environment that is not full of tobacco smoke, cigarette smoke, or e-cigarette smoke is your right. Right? Mm-hmm. Now, with smoking or using e-cigarette, it's not a right, it's a choice. Okay? It's a choice that people make, but also it's because of addiction. Some people will continue to smoke even if they don't want to smoke because of addiction. Thirdly, may I add, this advertisement, it creates attraction okay. and appeal. Young people, they get attracted to these appealing okay. products. So it's not right.
Okay.
They are exposed to them.
Dr. Sharon, very briefly, what's your view? Because smokers could say, stop this nanny state behavior. We are not bad people.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. So many smokers start smoking before they're 18. Many smokers, as young as 9, people start smoking. So there really is a debate on whether that's a freedom or that actually is addiction. And what the bill does right now is it basically strikes the balance. It does not stop you from smoking. It does not stop you from buying the product. But it also tries to stop the younger generation from starting. It also tries to protect the non-smokers. Yeah. So there are a lot of interests at stake. And what the bill is trying to do is basically to balance all of them. And I think it does that very well.
Okay. Thank you so much, Dr. Sharon Nyatsanza, Deputy Director of the National Council Against Smoking, joined by Zanele Mthembu, the convener of Protect Our Next, which is an amalgam of NGOs who ultimately work for a smoke-free society and a campaign to protect children as well.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.